Well, I know people are starting to think about Christmas, and that's on our minds, but we all just, well, I shouldn't say we all, but many of us this past weekend have gathered together for Thanksgiving, a holiday where we focus on being thankful. And we're going to take a break from our 1 John sermon series just to think about some reflections from God's Word on being thankful. You know, it's very interesting to consider George Washington's proclamation when he instituted Thanksgiving as a holiday. Perhaps you've heard this before, but if not, I want to read it for you. Just interesting to consider the President of the United States making the declaration based on the overwhelming desire of both houses to establish a holiday to give thanks to God. George Washington had said, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many single favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. That we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country." With this address, Washington instated the holiday of Thanksgiving for the purpose of the people of America to acknowledge all that God had done for them. And since that time, many years ago, we've been gathering together and joining around the table and thinking about God's goodness to us in our lives. The idea of giving thanks or being thankful is not something which is foreign in Scripture. In fact, it's a theme which is repeated quite often. In the English Bible, in the NIV English Bible at least, the idea of thanksgiving comes up 38 times. And thanks or thankfulness 132 times. That's in the English. But that's 170 some verses that record the idea of being thankful or giving thanksgiving. And this morning what we want to do is look at kind of seven passages, which out of that 170, which we're just going to reflect upon in this time of giving thanks and see what benefit there may be there for us this morning as the Holy Spirit teaches us through the reading of His Word. But as I sort of think about these passages in Scripture and their teaching on Thanksgiving, a couple major themes come up in thinking about the idea of what is Thanksgiving biblically. We see that it's words and expression of thankfulness. Sometimes it can be a prayer, an expression of gratefulness to God. Also, we see action, giving out of a thankful heart, and also attitude, a lifestyle of gratitude, as it were. I understand that we all get the general gist of what Thanksgiving is, probably, but the reason we continually come back to God's Word and think about these things is to remember and to allow the Spirit to renew afresh in our hearts and our minds the importance of Thanksgiving. And what a better day to do this, what a better Sunday for it than today when we've all gathered around and have participated in Thanksgiving festivities. How can we express Thanksgiving? How can we think more fully and more biblically about the idea of Thanksgiving? Well, one thought I have is by recognizing that Thanksgiving is a proper response to God. Thanksgiving is a proper response to God. Go ahead and turn with me in your copy of God's Word, if you will, and we're going to look at a couple passages this morning. The first one's going to be Psalm 100. Psalm 100, if you would. Psalm 100, verse 1, by recognizing that thanksgiving is a proper response to God. Of course, while you're turning there, you've heard about the two gentlemen who found themselves running away from a wild bull, right? Have you heard about them? They're both running away from the wild bull, and the one looks over at the other and says, "Do something!" The other one says, "Well, what should I do?" "Well, say a prayer." At that moment, the person said the only prayer he had really ever prayed, the only prayer he knew, "Father, for what we are about to receive, we give you thanks." How important to give thanks for all things. As we look at Psalm 100, though, we see a nice little psalm, a short little psalm, but focused around the idea of giving thanks. In fact, even the subscript in my translation says, "A psalm for giving thanks." It says in Psalms 100, verse 1, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His sheep. We are the people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Wrapped up within this psalm is a number of reasons why we come to God with thanksgiving, why we praise Him, why we're thankful for Him. He is, of course, the creator of all that exists, of all that's been made. It is He who made us. He's called us to Himself. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. He identifies with us. And of course, the Lord is good. And His faithfulness doesn't just endure today. It doesn't just endure in the here and now. God's faithfulness is eternal. He's faithful to us eternally. His love to us endures forever. As we come before our Creator God, the Maker of all things that exist, a God who is eternally loving towards us, a proper response is thankfulness. Perhaps you went around the table and said things that you were thankful for this Thanksgiving season. Maybe not everybody does that, but when you think about it, anything that you can be thankful for is something which God has made. Because God is the maker of all things, ultimately because everything comes from Him, we give thanks to Him for everything that exists. How can we express thanksgiving? Well, another idea comes to us in John chapter 6. And so I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 6. We're going to look at several of these this morning. We see here, by giving thanks to God, even in the midst of need. We express thanksgiving by giving thanks, even in the midst of need. Every year is different for each of us. We go through different chapters in our lives, and perhaps you come to the Thanksgiving season this holiday and things are perhaps a bit tight, maybe financially. Or there's perhaps serious health concerns. Perhaps there's some very difficult relationship issues in the family or at work or wherever it may be. And sometimes in the midst of our needs, whether they be physical needs or spiritual needs, is it hard to give thanks to God in the midst of those times? We see here a little indication in John chapter 6 that we are to give thanks to God even in the midst of what seem to be impossible circumstances. We see the account here where Jesus feeds the 5,000 in John chapter 6, verse 1. "Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee," that is the Sea of Tiberias, "and a great crowd of people followed Him because they saw the miraculous signs He had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Now notice that Jesus isn't actually wondering this himself. He asked Philip this question, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" But notice right what it says next in verse 6. He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. This question was a test. Where will our provision come from in this moment of need, Philip? In this moment of need, where will we find provision? Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Think right where Philip goes to. He doesn't go to the fact that God has a supernatural power to provide for their every need. He goes straight to the analytics of it. Oh, we don't have enough money to buy food for all these people. Even if we had two-thirds of a year's worth of money, we couldn't buy food for all these people. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Oh, we have a little bit here, but clearly it's not enough. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks. He distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. We're never told explicitly the ins and outs of what's going on here, but I believe we're told this account of Jesus for theological reasons, to help us understand some things. And it does say in the text clearly that it was a test. Where are we going to get the provision in the moment of this need? Immediately they go to thinking about the physics around them, as it were, the real world. Well, we only have this a little amount of food. Well, we certainly don't have enough money. But God is able to provide no matter what the circumstances. God will come through. He gives thanks for the little that they have, and the Lord stretches it to make it enough, and more than enough, not just enough, but to even exceed the need that was there. Giving thanks, even in the midst of need. How can we express thanksgiving? By recognizing that thanksgiving brings peace. Actually, an attitude of thankfulness brings us spiritual peace. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And while you're turning there, a couple of facts about the turkey to consider. Now these might be a little bit old, but at some point here in the recent past they were true. In the United States, turkey is a $2.67 billion industry. The average American gobbles about 18.3 pounds of turkey per year. In the United States, white meat is preferred by a 2-to-1 ratio. And top-heavy breeders are twice the size they were 35 years ago. 95% of turkeys sold worldwide are the offspring of a few thousand superbirds that are owned by just 3 corporations that control the world market. Now, it may be true that tryptophan, that substance that's found within turkey meat, makes a person a little bit sleepy and perhaps will bring some momentary peace. But if you're depending on tryptophan as your peace in life, then I imagine you'll be sorely let down at some point. But there is a greater peace that can come to us, a peace which comes from the Spirit of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says to us, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is a powerful passage. We are so prone to worry, to be concerned about the life around us and the situations that are unfolding. And here God is telling us not to be anxious about everything, but in all those things which may worry us, which may concern us, to come to Him in prayer, to petition Him, and to do it, interestingly, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, to present your request to God out of an attitude of thankfulness for all that we have, to not worry about the things of life, but to present those requests to God. And it says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. In our humanness, it's easy to see how we can't find peace in certain situations. But God's Spirit can provide a supernatural peace, something which is beyond the peace of just the common human peace. The peace of God which transcends all understanding. The peace of God which is beyond, which is something more than the human understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I can't tell you, I can't describe for you exactly what that looks like in your particular life and in every particular situation in your life. But I know that it's true that God's Word is teaching here that as we choose to come to Him and to bring our requests to Him and our petitions to Him in a spirit of thankfulness, God's Spirit works within us to provide a supernatural peace, to comfort us in those times of need. And a part of this process, a key part of this, is to bring our prayers and petitions with thanksgiving and a spirit of thankfulness, recognizing what God has done and is doing in our lives. Similarly, we see that we give thanks, we express thanksgiving by giving thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. And how difficult is this? Because not all our circumstances to us always seem, at least on the face value of them, like good circumstances. And yet we're to give thanks in all circumstances. Just flip over, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in your copy of God's Word, if you would. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16. Probably it's your family. There's different types of food. Somebody puts out the potatoes. You're thankful for the potatoes. Put out the mushrooms. You're thankful for the mushrooms. Asparagus. I mean, is everybody thankful? I like all these things. Something that used to come out, though, around the family tables, not necessarily Thanksgiving meal, but at the Easter meal, dandelion. Does anybody here eat dandelion? No? Yeah, a couple dandelion eaters. I mean, seriously, you go out and you pick the leaves of this weed and then souffle or whatever, I don't know. And this turns out a dandelion dish. I never did acquire a taste for that. But unlike our Thanksgiving tables in our lives, and as we consider all the things that are brought into our lives to partake of, we are to be thankful for all things. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 and 18. Short verse here. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. How can we give thanks in circumstances which are unthinkable, which are difficult? Circumstances which may involve the loss of a loved one. Circumstances which can be very depressing or discouraging to us. There was something wrapped up in this. Something implied that in giving thanks in all circumstances, we're recognizing that God is greater than our circumstances. And that may be hard. I'm not saying it's easy. But it is what God's Word calls us to. A part of being thankful as a believer, a part of biblical thankfulness, a part of expressing thanksgiving as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, is to be thankful, to give thanks in all circumstances, even the ones that are difficult, even the ones that are hard. Because we recognize that God is there for us, no matter what is going on. That He is working out all things for His good. Even when externally we don't understand, we acknowledge that He does understand. How can we express thanksgiving? By offering thanksgivings to those around us. That may seem initially like a typo, but the word is plural, which is interesting. In fact, all the words in this string in 1 Timothy chapter 2 are in the plural, and by offering thanksgivings to those around us. It's probably better rendered by offering thanksgiving to those around us, but for what it's worth. 1 Timothy, if you would. Turn with me. Just flip over two or three pages or so in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. To be thankful for everyone. To offer thanksgivings, as it were, to those around us. I think that there's something beneficial that happens to us as we consider the people in our lives and the people that we're surrounded with, the people that are placed in leadership over us, our bosses, in our families, as we consider all those folks, we are to give thanksgiving for everyone. It harkens back to sort of an idea which I think is foundational in the Genesis narrative, that all men are made in the image of God. And there's something intrinsically important about that. As Noah comes off the ark with his children, do not take the life of another person, for all men are made in the image of God. Offer these prayers and requests and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Be thankful for those around us. Now this can be taken two ways. One way it can be taken that we're thankful for those, even those folks in our lives, even when it's difficult or even when it's hard. But another way this can be taken is to remember to be thankful for those who we do appreciate and who we do love. I've seen this at work in my life, the power of encouragement, the power of thankfulness. It's not a power that comes from me, but it's the Spirit of God that can work through each and every one of us. When we go up to somebody and we place a hand on their shoulder, or we take their hand, or we sit down with them, and we say, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. I appreciate you for this. I appreciate you for that. There's this place, especially within our families, and within our church family too, to offer thanks to one another, to be thankful for one another, to offer thanksgivings to one another, as it were. And this can be very encouraging. You know how much you love your mom or your dad or your children? How much you appreciate your spouse? Take the time this season, not just to think it, not just to know that they know it, but to put an arm around them and say, thank you so much for what you do, for the love that we share. Offer thanksgivings to those who are in our families and those who are in our church family. This is a powerful thing, and it's part of what God calls us to, and it's part of what builds our unity in the Lord together as we share our appreciation and love for one another in both words and in actions. How can we express thanksgiving? By speaking in a thankful manner. By speaking in a thankful manner. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Thank you for turning with me. Chapter 5, verse 3, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. As opposed to obscenities and foolish talk and coarse joking, in place of these things in the believer's life is to be talk of thanksgiving, to be the attitude of thankfulness. The world, if you haven't noticed it, likes to make a practice of belittling others. Much of the humor and the joking comes at the expense of someone or something. In past ministry context, a small past thing one time, but I'm sure it's evident everywhere and in all sorts of circumstances. With one of the youth ministry sectors, there became this joke. It was sort of characterized as bashing. I don't know how to describe that other than that folks would start, for fun as it were, just talking meanly to one another. And as I became aware of this, I sat down and I said, you know, it all may seem like fun and games, but it's actually against what God's Word is calling us to. This coarse joking is out of place in the life of a believer. Rather, we're to express thanksgiving for one another. We're to be thankful for one another. Our conversation with one another should be characterized by thankfulness, not by obscenity or foolish talk. It's something to think about, because how awesome it is to use our language and to use our communication with one another to build each other up. Let's not get wrapped up in the world's way of having fun and the coarse joking and the obscene speech that provides humor the way the world understands it. But let's be people that are characterized with thanksgiving and thankfulness for all that God has done. How can we express thanksgiving? And I myself am losing track. There was seven. Is this seven? Is anyone numbering them? I should have numbered them on this. It's seven. John's numbered it for me. Seven. Thank you, brother. By giving out of a spirit of thankfulness to the needs around us. We express thanksgiving by giving out of a spirit of thankfulness to the needs around us. Let's flip over, lastly today, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would. We're going to start in verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Two verses here. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That verse has always struck me. I've always found this to be so interesting. Through the generosity of believers, other people will then be able to express thankfulness to God. There's a major theme which comes out here, and it's that God has blessed us in order to be a blessing to others. God has blessed us in order to be a blessing to others. Now, this comes in two ways. One, of course, is as a spiritual blessing. We are spiritually blessed with all that we've been given, with all that we know of God, and we're to be a spiritual blessing to others. But also, I think that the physical blessing is a part of this as well. We've been given so much, and there's opportunity for us to take some of what we've been given and to be a blessing to others around us. To our neighbors, of course, to our family. And you know, it's just one of those things where as you go throughout life and God brings a circumstance into your life and you feel the nudge of the Spirit to respond in some small way, perhaps, just to follow through on that. To be that blessing to those other people around you so that through your blessing, through your giving, they can then give thanksgiving to God. We help to promote other people being thankful to God by ourselves giving from what the Lord has given to us. And that's a neat thing to think about and something to consider this holiday season. Here again, it's one of those situations where our lives are all completely different. But as we take this journey through life and we follow the path that God has laid out for us, of course there's going to become times where God lays certain people or situations on our hearts. And He lays those people and situations on our hearts for a reason. We can't obviously do everything or help everyone, but we all can help someone. We all can do something. Something to ponder and think about. We express thanksgiving by giving out of a spirit of thankfulness to the needs around us. So just in review, we talked about expressing thanksgiving by recognizing that thanksgiving is a proper response to God. By giving thanks to God, even in the midst of need. By recognizing that thanksgiving brings peace. By giving thanks in all circumstances. By offering thanksgivings to those around us. By speaking in a thankful manner. By giving out of a spirit of thankfulness to the needs around us. That's seven ideas which I pulled out of the 170 references to thanks and thankfulness in Scripture. There's probably many more, and there's probably much more that could be said about each one of these points. But I pray that perhaps the Spirit of the Lord choose the reading of the Word this morning just to encourage you in your walk and your relationship with Him and your own personal meditations on being thankful this holiday season. Let's pray. Lord, we come before You again today, thinking about our lives and thinking about Your goodness. Ultimately, Lord, I just want to close our service today by just thanking You for the most incredible gift, which is Yourself. For coming to us, Lord, and calling us to Yourself. For pulling us out of the mire and setting our feet on a solid rock. Lord, for the justification and the salvation, Lord, which You have provided, we are so grateful and thankful. For the gift of the Spirit living within us, allowing us to better understand these passages and walking with us through the journey of this life and helping us to think about what thankfulness means and is like in our lives. We thank You for that, Lord. Lord, we live in such a good place. A place of plenty, a bountiful place. Lord, being given such great opportunities and being given so much, continue to open our hearts and our eyes to see what Your purposes are in the blessing that we have. We pray all these things in Your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.